Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Listen.
We're good.
We're live. No, we're live. Oh, geez, we're live. John, you got to move us over, John.
I did.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to My Investment. I am Revere Beach. This is an investment. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. And I am very excited today and every day talking about my hometown, Revere Beach. Russell Conwell, in his famous book entitled Acres of Diamonds, says that your diamond mine is in your own backyard, actually it's in your own hometown, and it's actually found within. And so this idea of creating a podcast show entitled hashtag I Am Revere Beach with my co-host Dan Calloway and Steve White, we are born and raised and reared, as some would say, from the beautiful city of Revere Beach, Florida. And this podcast is to continue to promote, highlight, and enlighten the world about the gems that we find right here at home. And so our special gem today is going to be our co-host, Steve White, from Protective Hand Communication, as he shares with us the power and the importance of education and what should take place in the home. And as we look at the foundational educational success system that could be created in our schools, this opportunity is available to everyone. So first let me go to Dan Calloway, give his comments, and then we'll go to Steve White. Good afternoon, Mr. Calloway. How are you?
Good afternoon and Happy New Year to everyone. We are fine because God has allowed us to see another first Sunday in January. And with the pandemic running wild everywhere, we want everybody to honor the mass and the social distance, because we can make this work.
Absolutely. And now to you, Mr. Steve White, if you can introduce yourself to our listeners and tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you do, and especially where you're from.
Okay, well, yes, good afternoon, everyone, and I do wish everyone a Happy New Year as well. So, first of all, yeah, I'm born and raised in Revere Beach, and I always tell people I am a proud resident of Revere Beach. I grew up on First Street on the south end of Revere Beach, and grew up in a neighborhood that really was a village. As we talked about before, we had great men and women who looked after us. We had great recreational programs. We have great schools. I went to Lincoln Elementary and Lincoln Junior High, where we had just, you know, wonderful, dedicated, loving teachers, principals, guidance counselors. It was a community effort. And then we had people like Coach Hawkins and Mr. Calloway and all of these people who were nurturing us as well. And so I'm a product of that. And so the foundation that the city gave me is one that I'm extremely thankful for. And what I've tried to do as an adult with my own children and also with all of the children in the community is really kind of replicate and try to give back a lot of what all of these great people, the people in our neighborhoods and my own parents as well, and what they gave us, you know, which was, like I said, that village concept where everyone looked out for everyone else. And so that's really a big reason why I have been involved in education and involved in mentoring, because I'm really just giving back what had been given to me.
That is beautiful. One of the questions that I'm going to ask, and I know you will be able to elaborate on that, tell the listening audience about the tutorial program that you are doing for John F. Kennedy, the middle school right in the heart of Riviera.
Okay, yeah, I'd be happy to. I've been involved, like I said, and I'll talk about that later, how I got involved in education. But one of the things that being involved in education has allowed me to do is get involved in some really good programs over the years. And I was honored to have an opportunity to work with Mr. Calloway and the Youth Recreation Association. We have an after-school tutorial program, if you will, that we offer at John F. Kennedy Middle School. And basically what we're doing is we're offering any student at John F. Kennedy the opportunity to get additional academic enhancement at after school is over. So from 4:30 to 5:20, Monday through Thursday, we offer a reading and math enhancement for students. It's all voluntary on the part of the students. We have great teachers from John F. Kennedy, as well as a couple of teachers from another school that have joined forces. And these teachers are, I would say that they're fantastic teachers. I would say they're experts in their fields of reading and English and mathematics. And so what we do is we work with the students to help them improve in their mathematics, starting with wherever they are at the point that they come to us. And then we work with them in that area of mathematics. We also work with them in the area of reading. And we're also going to work with them in the area of entrepreneurship. We're going to talk to them. We know that a lot of our students are also interested in starting businesses, but a lot of them don't know the basic ins and outs of business or entrepreneurship. So that's something that we offer to them as well. But it's a great program, and it's a program that really should just be taken advantage of, because one of the things that a lot of the students don't do is they just really don't take advantage of these opportunities. So one thing that I would say, just, you know, very frankly, is that for parents who are listening who have children that attend John F. Kennedy, you just really need to make sure that your child is taking advantage of opportunities like this, because from an academic point of view, an educational point of view, reading and mathematics are those core subject areas that actually will determine whether our children are going to be successful educationally, because if they're not able to read and comprehend, and obviously if they're not fluent or proficient in mathematics, then they're going to struggle. And when we look at the data, it clearly demonstrates that for black children, that we're really behind when it comes to reading proficiency and mathematics proficiency. And again, like I said, those are core subject areas. So it's a great opportunity, and I would just encourage parents to make sure that their students are taking advantage of it. And then also I thank John F. Kennedy, the administration there, and the teachers there for supporting the program.
This is Ann. I have a question for you also. What do you think we can do, especially those of us who are listening to this show, to help support those individual students from John F. Kennedy who may not have the benefit, for example, of having the support and the foundation in the home? What ideas or thoughts or suggestions do you have that we can ask the public to help us help our students right here in the city of Riviera Beach with this program?
Well, you know, I do want to talk about what parents should be doing in the home, but to bring it out into the public, we literally have to, I guess to use the word, adopt. We have to operate, as I was saying earlier, from the position that all of these children belong to us. And so if there's nothing more than talking to children that you have some contact with, asking how they're doing academically, those who are involved in sports, as Mr. Calloway knows, and this is one of the reasons why we have this program, is because we're bridging that gap between sports and academics. So when you have children that's involved in sports, whether it's in the city's recreational programs or whatever, make sure that you're also putting emphasis on the academic aspect of it and encouraging them and seeing how they're doing academically. We can all take young people. I know, you know, right at this present moment with the virus and everything, but we can't not let the virus stop us from doing a lot of the things that we need to do. And so that means that we can, if it's just individually adopting a child that we mentor, that we take under our wing and make sure that they're doing okay, or at least contribute to giving them the tools that they need to be successful. But I think it starts, though, and with the fact that we've got to see these children as our own, you know, and I don't want to, you know, try to sound idealistic or anything, but that's real. And that's how all three of us were raised, where the people in the community saw us as their own. And so they took interest. And I always say to people that if we talk about how it used to be, if we say that those were good times when we had the village concept and all of that, if we say that that worked for us, then it means that we have to do the things that we used to do, which means that as adults we have to take responsibility for other children besides our own.
I'd like to interject a couple of things, Ann and Steve. One of the things, the question that you asked, Steve, what are some of the things the public, our listeners, can get involved with? We had a fundraiser to kick this program off 5 or 6 months ago, and the first person who gave us a donation was your company, you. And Singers Island came up with, they said they'll take care of 2 semesters, 2 6-weeks, but they, when they got involved, they only did 1. We will not allow this program to go down because of finance, because of people. They said the virus got everybody without a job. We're going to have to find the money to keep it up. The teachers cannot, those math teachers or reading teachers, they can't just donate all their time without getting some kind of stipend. And we have already signed a contract of $22 an hour for 2 and $25 for another one. We have to live up to that. And that's a small amount to really keep this going because of their tracking from the day they started and to the end. Now, our students are doing well, but they were talking about all of the other F students. They're not talking about our students. And pretty soon we will give them some physical activities. The principal already said that when the school board allow us to do that after school, and we're going to continue this all summer long. It's a year-round thing. It's not just something just going to be for the school year and stop. No, we're going to do it year-round because we are so far behind with kids not able to read. Now, there's another thing that Steve didn't put in his curriculum that is in the curriculum, and I know with February coming up, that's Black History Month. That was one of the things that I sat down with him and the other people on the board, that they took Black history out of the schools. So it's going to be taught under his auspices and also current events, because when we had the Black Lives Matter and everybody was movement because of the people shooting, they need to know all these things, what to do, when to do it, and when those things are going to happen. So therefore, that will be heavily taught, I know, in February. Am I right, Mr. White?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. We're going to infuse history, and that's one of the things that I've been advocating all along, is that Black history is something that should be and has to be infused in all of the academic subject areas. So you can bring Black history into reading. You can bring Black history into mathematics. You can bring Black history, obviously, into entrepreneurship. So all of the subject areas that our children study, we will and can infuse Black history into those subject areas, because we have outstanding people in education, which is part of Black history. We have outstanding Black entrepreneurs like Ms. McNeil, which is part of Black history. You know, so we can, yeah. So absolutely, Mr. Calloway, that is a part of what we offer to students.
Well, I think that we were getting calls from the Glades in South County, and they want to start something similar. There was a big write-up in the paper about Carver Middle School. It used to be Carver High School. They're trying to get funds to renovate it and have after-school programs and public things that the people need to know in the town. And Delray is really the number one city in Palm Beach County, especially for Blacks. So we're going to be doing a lot of other things. But one of the things that I talked to to the young man who's running this program here to put on our GoFundMe. Is the kids, they cut, the food bank is closed, and some of the kids who are at home is not getting enough food and everything like that because of the lack of people. They had them on TV that the kids wasn't getting any food because of, but they are not on campus to have those two hot meals or at least one hot meal. And we're going to do something about that. We're going to feed 25 families. We're going to buy them $125 worth of grocery on the 15th of this month. And it's dry food. I mean, when I said dry food, it won't be done. And we'll have turkey chicken and beef, ground beef to make hamburgers and meatloaf and wieners and things and like that. And, of course, the macaroni, the rice, and they're going to have to cook it. And we will do that. We're going to join in and do that, and especially those parents over at John F. Kennedy, because we already involved with the education program, and those kids not going to be able to study if they're hungry. And that's what they were saying on TV, and that's what we're getting all these phone calls about. And this program here, of course, we'll be in education for the next 3 to 4 weeks because this is the backbone of what we are trying to do. If we get people who are educated, they won't make as many mistakes. And then they'll congregate together, and they say birds of a feather will flock together, and we need people. We need the leadership right now. We need each other now more than ever. So I hope the listening audience are listening at this here. They can call either one of us. They can call the Youth Recreation, and we can give it. But next week we'll have an outline when we come on with our guests about the things and where you can drop off this, where you can do this, where you can serve that, and we're going to join together. As long as this pandemic is like this here, our number one thing is to educate the masses, and the next thing is to feed everybody. Nobody got to go hungry. We have no business allowing people to go hungry. I'm finished.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Calloway. And if I may, what I would like to do, too, is make sure before our time is up that we talk, spend some time talking about specific things that should take place in the home, talking about things that parents should be doing to give the foundation for their children to really be
sure.
successful.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because, you know, one thing that I've learned and is not something that I think is addressed enough, and that is that the reality is that parents are the primary educators of their children. And so what we have to really understand is what our responsibilities are as parents. So I just wanted to share, you know, a little bit about that because I really think that that's critical for our children to be successful, because I operate from the position that our children come into the world with genius potential. And it's really the nurturing that they receive first in the home that determines whether they're going to go forward and be successful even by the time they go into school. As I mentioned, I think last time we had our program, that one of the things that we found was in Riviera Beach, when the Palm Beach County School District looked at the schools in Riviera Beach and what percentage of our students from Riviera Beach were coming into kindergarten labeled or what they call kindergarten ready. In other words, had they received the foundation at home that will allow them to come into their first time into public school, are they prepared or are they already behind the eight ball when they come? And so a big part of what's going to allow our children to be successful is what do parents do in the home in order for their children to be successful. And I think that's where we've been dropping the ball, so to speak. So, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot when I do presentations and work with parents is that are they creating an environment in the home that's conducive to their children as far as learning? Are they encouraging them to read? And are they surrounding them with reading materials, regardless of their age, but are they creating an environment that's conducive to learning so that the children value education, but not just value it, but that they're giving them those that they need. So do they surround them with books? Do they read to their children at an early age? I mean, literally reading to children while they're still in the womb. So do they read to the children? Do they talk to them? Do they have those conversations with them so that they're developing their ability to reason and to think? And like I said, you know, more specifically, making sure that they're encouraging them to be readers by putting books and magazines, coloring books, I don't care what it is, putting those things in the home. You know, we talk a lot about, I mean, I work with parents a lot about the fact that children should see their parents reading. And at the very least, they should also see that there's a value for education. You know, I remember Dr. Kanjufu had asked the question, you know, that where are the trophies and everything to honor academic success? You know, do we put more value on the athletics or the entertainment and not the same value on the academic success? And even right in the home, you can see a parent that will brag about their child that's a great athlete, but are they given that same kind of are they bragging and are they supporting their children the same way those who are successful academically? So, you know, everything starts in the home. You know, one of the things that we know that children do at the very beginning of life, and then as they get older, it continues, and that is that a child has a tendency to ask that question, why? And as an educator, I focus on that a lot because a child has a tendency, like I said, to ask that question, why? And we all know that there's a standard answer that many parents give their children when they say why, and that is what? Because I said so. Mm-hmm. But really what the child is doing is the child is showing their natural inquisitiveness, their natural curiosity, and that is also their foundation for wanting to learn. And so when the child at that young age asks the question why, and we don't give them an answer, then eventually that child stops asking the question why. And so we're automatically or at an early age killing their natural curiosity. So we as parents or the adults in their lives, we have to take the time to answer those questions when that child asks that question. Mm-hmm. We have to build their self-esteem. A lot of our children don't do well academically because their self-esteem is so low, because their self-esteem oftentimes has already been destroyed before they leave the home, because a lot of times it's parents. Because parents, let me say this, parents are the greatest influence over their children, especially initially. And I always say to parents, you have to determine whether that influence is going to be positive or is it going to be negative. So when you are putting your child down as opposed to encouraging them, you are destroying their self-esteem because they're hanging on every word that they hear from you. So, you know, I just say that it's all about, you know, what do we do at that early age? How do we nurture our children early on to bring forth that genius that is already deposited in them? Something else I wanted to stress is that, you know, we know that children rise to the level of our expectations. So what do we expect for our children and from our children? And then do we give them the tools to help them to achieve that? So there's a lot, you know, I know, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but there's a lot that has to take place in the home. So our children need to get that foundation in the home, and that's the responsibility of the parents, because we cannot point the finger at anybody else if we've abdicated our own responsibilities. And so, you know, as there's a lot of fault within the public school system, and we can talk about that because there's a lot, and I've seen it, and I know it exists. But again, the foundation starts in the home, and so if parents don't do what they're supposed to do, then we really have no one to blame but ourselves. So we've got to give our children a foundation. We've got to, like I said, create an environment that is conducive to their learning. You know, there was an old saying a few years back, you know, that a lot of our children know all of the latest dances, but they don't know their ABCs. So if we're putting emphasis on the wrong things, then that's going to come back to haunt us and it's going to hurt our children. So that's just some of what I wanted to say about the foundation. I mean, there's a lot more, you know, specific things we can discuss, but foundation.
Well, we got 3 more weeks we added an extra week because of the holidays, and the most important topic that we will embark on while we are on this radio all these Sundays is education, because the mind is a great thing. It's a terrible thing to waste. They make statements about that. But I think you need to hit on a little about your humble beginning and what made you get where you are now in education. Use you as our example for the kids to try to follow that, because you weren't an athlete. You were athletic involved, but you didn't put your whole apples on the athletic field. You put it in the classroom, and it's paying off, because the athletic person will, his ability or her ability will erode at a certain age when you start to get older. But a person with a great mind can go a long, long, long time, much further than an athlete.
Well, you know, that's great that you bring that up, Mr. Calloway. I was one of those children who was asking that question, why, as a child, and I wanted to know, and I was blessed that my parents put books in the home for me. They you know, I grew up, I always tell people back, you know, my age and so on, I grew up with two sets of encyclopedia in my home. And it was not easy to purchase those encyclopedias, but my mother did it because she wanted me and my brother and sister to have those tools. So I developed that love for reading, and I read and I read and I read and I read, because I had questions and I wanted to know why. And I was blessed to have people around me, teachers and like I said, in my home as well, who nurtured that. And didn't ridicule it, you know, because we have this thing now where they say that, you know, if you're smart, you're acting white. So, you know, it wasn't ridiculed. I mean, you know, I took some because, you know, like you said, we put a lot of emphasis on sports, and I love sports, so I'm good with that. But we just have to put that same emphasis on academics. But I was one of those children, like I said, who asked that question, why. I wanted to know. And so I never lost that desire to want to know. And so when I became a parent, then obviously, you know, my wife and I, we got very involved in the education of our children. And what a lot of people don't know is that we actually, I joined with some other people when my daughter was 3 or 4 years old, and we actually developed an Afrocentric school that we operated for 3 years. To educate our own children, and that our son, who's the oldest, spent his first 5 years at what was then Greater Bethel. So, you know, we were putting our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and doing what we could to give our children that foundation to be successful. But it started with me. It was because, like I said, I had that desire. I wanted to know, and I still want to know. You know, that's why I read and research and study so much now, because I just have that natural desire to want to know. And again, like I said, we had in my home, and then we had teachers who nurtured that, you know, because again, at Lincoln Elementary, Lincoln Junior High, before I ended up over at North Shore, but even there as well, but particularly at Lincoln Elementary and Lincoln Junior High, we had Black teachers, you know, that's the reality. We had Black teachers who really loved us and nurtured my love for learning. And so that was a big part of it for me and how I got to this point. So when I was old enough as an adult, you know, I started a mentoring program, and I've been a mentor for 35 years and working with young people. I have a prison reentry program where we've been able to go in and work with the men in prison and help them to come out and to be successful. So I'm just really just following that foundation that the people in our community set for me. And I just picked up on it and continued it. And then the last thing I'll say with that real quickly is that, back to the whole thing too, is that our children come into this world with natural gifts and talents, and I was blessed really to be able to exercise and develop my gifts and talents. And what we have to do as parents and as adults, and going back to what Ann was asking earlier, is that we have to, when we see what's in our children, it's our responsibility to nurture that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be nurturing our children, because the root word of the word education is educe. And it really means that we're bringing out what has already been deposited in our children. So that's why I say they come to us with genius potential. God gives them to us, and then it's our responsibility to nurture them and to bring forth what has already been deposited in them. And I was blessed to have people, you know, like I said, from childhood, and then to have a wife who respected, you know, who I am and everything, who all helped me to nurture and to develop the gifts that I was blessed with, and that's what we're supposed to be doing for our children.
Amen. How much time we got?
Oh, we've been out of time.
Well,
I think that happens every week, Ann.
I just want to say that while you were talking, I'm actually on LinkedIn typing almost word for word as best I can your words, so that those who may not have the benefit of hearing your words can read your words. Because I think that that is a part of why we do this, and we will never know, as this information is shared around the world on different platforms, we will never know the inspiration that others will have to do the same and giving back in their own hometown. And I think that it's great that we can do for others, but what you're demonstrating is that you're giving back to your hometown that which was given to you. And I really want us to challenge those of us who are born and raised in Riviera Beach and who are now all over the world. Come back and participate with us, no matter where you're from. Maybe you can make a donation to Protective Hands Communication and maybe adopt one child. I mean, we can come up with an amount, you know, what it would take, $50, $100, $20. You know, it's one thing to see these commercials on TV about educating and feeding a hungry child abroad, but what about within your own hometown? What could $20 do to feed a child? What could $20 do to educate a child? That's why we're doing this. You know, we are located in Palm Beach County, but we were born and raised in Riviera Beach, and God has blessed us. And you talked about that a lot in terms of what you have been blessed with. And I believe that Riviera Beach, as a diamond in the rough, is drawing all of us back. I had the benefit of talking to one of our local commissioners I want to call his name on the program, and just encouraging the conversation about, let's look out 5, 10, 20 years from now. What will the city look like 20 years from now, 50 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the founders of this great city, you know, had a vision. And so mm-hmm. it is our responsibility to keep that vision alive. And what is your vision, you know, for the city as it relates to each of us? And I'm asking each of us, because there's no place like home. We only have one home. We can live all over the world, but we're only mm-hmm. from one place. And so I just wanted to thank you, Steve, for the encouraging words. Like I said, I've been sitting here typing as best I could, as fast as I could.
Beautiful.
You know, the words just sharing. And I've posted them on two or three different social media blogs while we're talking. But I think that this investment we're making every single Sunday, just like a seed planted in the ground. As long as we keep doing a little over a long period of time and we water it, we prune it, it's going to grow if we give it a function of time. Like I said, it's not going to happen overnight. And I want to go back to something you talked about the education and the parents and the foundation. I think we also have to be very realistic and understand that everybody didn't have parents like yours. Everybody didn't have and don't have parents like, you know, my parents were both home with us. And so we know that there are a lot of kids raising kids. And this is why what Mr. Calloway and his program is doing and has done, and the PAL program that the City of Police Department is creating, I'd like for us to just maybe open ourselves up and open the show up for people to call in and share their thoughts and ideas that they may have and things that we can do. You can reach Dan Calloway at 561-531-9184, 561-531-9184. You can reach Steve White. Steve, you want to go ahead and give your number, please?
Yeah, 561 as well, 841-4990. So it's 841-4990 and 561
okay,
area and, code.
Okay, we want to thank John Smith for helping us out and promoting and sharing the show. And so, John, if you could also put Steve's number in the post so then people who are listening to his show can also reach out to him directly. And, again, my name is Ann McNeil, and you can reach me at 786-546-0184. This is the new year. We're kicking off the new year with this education focus, and we're starting right at home. So, Dan, if you want to go ahead and close your remarks, and then Steve will let you have the last word.
My closing remark is to stay healthy, number one. We got to fight hard with this here pandemic, but most of all, we got to keep God in our life because He is going to get us through this. Don't worry. Just be patient and have faith. But we got to help out with educating the masses of these kids while they are young, because that'll cut down on kids going to prison and a lot of other things if they get educated, because they'll make a better decision. God bless everybody. I'm finished.
Okay, so what I would say, just staying with the educational theme, and again, since we put some emphasis or focus on parents today, is to, you know, say to parents that it's our responsibility as the parents, right? That no one is going to save our children for us but us. It's our responsibility. And, you know, and like my mother just understood the value of education. She was not what society would call an educated woman, but she knew instinctively that there was a value to education, and that as a mother, to give her children the support that they needed. And I believe that all of our parents instinctively know that, because when that child comes through you, you know their instinctive things or natural things that our parents know. What parents have to come to an understanding of is that you've got to do these things. You don't have any option, right? So even the youngest parents, yes, we got some young parents, children raising children, but they know that if you curse your child out and talk derogatory to your child, that is not going to help your child. They know that that child needs to know how to read. And so one of the things that I call on parents to do is understand the consequences of what's going to happen if you don't step up and do what you're supposed to do. We are supposed to help give those parents the tools and hopefully the motivation and support. But the reality has shown me that parents just cannot abdicate their responsibility as parents. You just can't.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. And we're looking forward to continuing this conversation every week. And we want to ask everybody to join us every single Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern at hashtag IAmRevereBeach. You can also call into the show at 661-554-9219. Again, that number is 661-554-9219. You can call in and participate live on the show. All right, everybody, have a good evening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.